In today's quest, witness the horrible, hellish hubris of Hilderic. Hearken to our harrowing tale of the Vandals fading into the annals of history. This is the Quest for Power. Welcome to the Quest for Power, where we are ranking and reviewing all of the European monarchs from the early Middle Ages to World War I. We are Scott and Michael, and we are your tour guides to show you the way through the labyrinth that is European history and politics. So if you look out the window to your left, you will see the free fall that the Vandal Kingdom is currently going through, per the courtesy of our previous lord, oh gosh, another TH name.
Thrasamund. Thrasamund. Another. I'm impressed you remember his name because he was not much to remember, other than he peacefully persecuted the Christians. That's the thing that stuck out for me in his reign.
Well, apparently it wasn't enough because we gave him some pretty harsh reviews.
Yeah, our Yelp reviews for him weren't very good. I don't think anyone's going to go to him for kingly business.
Yeah, no. Well, usually use that for restaurants, though, so I wouldn't trust that guy with food either. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. No, I wouldn't trust anyone, really, in the Dark Ages with food.
I mean, you had to trust somebody. Yeah. But that's what poison testers are for.
That is true. Yep. What if the poison tester is the spy, though? That's when you get the real problem. Unless they do it in front of the king, which they probably do.
You would assume.
I don't know. That may have to be something I look into and report on later, is how poison worked in terms of the poison testers, their life.
Yeah. It's got to be a high-stakes job.
Yeah. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's why you gotta hide it in, like, the part where the poison tester won't taste. But in order to avoid our untimely demise, much like the king who got poisoned or the person who tested the poison, you can always follow us on Facebook and Instagram or you can give us an email at questforpowerpod@gmail.com because we like communication, we like feedback, following, all of those things, wonderful, and will keep us healthy and not poisoned.
Yeah, keep the parasites and the worms out of us, unlike Hunterick.
Yeah.
Got to make sure to stay up fresh. We want to make the show about what you listeners want. We want to see what you have and what you were imagining for the show. This is not just me and Scott. Me and Scott are just happen to be guiding you through this and doing some of the research, but we want to hear what you would like to hear from us, so just let us know on the email. But before we get to the wonderful world of Hilderic, Scott, what have you been up to? I know there's been quite a bit of what's that called? Age of Empires.
Yeah, well, you know, when a game can take like a couple hours, it doesn't take long for you to just realize that a whole day went by. It's a way to take my mind off the fact that I've become a Amazon gremlin, as it were. I've been waiting forever for packages to arrive and then they don't arrive.
Oh no.
They're not through Amazon, actually. They're through like everybody else. I don't mind waiting, but boy, it's like it does take a little bit longer than I expected. So some stuff was on pre-order, some stuff was on like just order, so I'm like trying to, you know, get like keyboard switches to build a keyboard, and finally arrived after it's a few days after they told me that it's been delivered, so I'm like freaking out looking for them. Being like, no. Crap, yeah, because it took like a couple weeks for them to arrive, so I was like, I don't want to go through this again. So
Amazon has ruined me for anything less than 2-day shipping, actually even 1-day shipping or the day of, because I have an Amazon like fulfillment center like right near me, so like I can order something at 10 o'clock and it'll be at my house by 2 for quite a bit of product. So it's really ruined my patience for a lot of things. But then other things like Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, Star Wars, and the new Harry Potter game have then increased my patience back. So between the two,
I've been pretty good about dodging, like, or not needing, like, Amazon Prime. I, like, subscribe for, like, basically for free trials, and that's it. So, and I'm a big person on, like, usually I'm, when it comes to getting things shipped, I'm usually pretty good at waiting for them, as evidenced by me, like, I still like to pre-order and purchase physical copies of, like, new music albums. But just, like, usually, like, CDs and other, like, memorabilia because I'm too poor for records.
You still have a CD
player? Yeah, of course I do. Well, all right, so, like, I have a USB one for, like, my computers and stuff now, so.
Oh, gotcha. I was going to say, I don't even think my computers could put a CD in. I think the only thing that could in my house is my PS5 and the PS4.
So my thought is that one day streaming services will go down. Or they'll change or get rid of the music that I really like. All are very potential possibilities. So
that's true. Yeah.
I'm like a doomsday prepper, but for music. So
I mean, yeah, you could have the same thing with like our money system too, though. It could all go down in an instant. It's all computerized, digitalized, like
yeah. That's a little different though, because you have one that is backed by a country. Not to say countries and financial systems don't collapse, but I would sooner bet that Spotify would go under than the United States government. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, crazier things can happen. I mean, we are still a very young country when it comes to it. So, and I doubt the Romans thought that they were going to end. I bet you, though, the Vandals knew they were going to end. At least if the last couple of kings, probably not in Gaiseric's reign. But,
if you know it's ending, that means it's already too late.
Yep, that is true. All right, speaking of the Vandals, let's get started. Before we obviously get started, we got to go to the sources. We have basically Procopius, and that's about it. We have some of the other stuff, some of the other like Gibbon and things like that, but the main source is Procopius, and he wrote about the Vandal Wars with the Eastern Empire. Normally we get Victor De Vita, I think is his name, but he writes about how the Vandals were horrible to the Christians, and that's how we get information for that. There's no real reason to be vindictive to Hilderic, both for Procopius and for Victor, because he ends up being very pro-Christian, and I think he even later, spoiler alert, converts to Christianity, and it just doesn't go that well. And that's what is even more damning to his rule, is that these sources are like pro-Hilderic, kind of. It's not like Alaric II, where they were saying, oh, he's going to burn in hell for, you know, he's a tyrant and things like that.
Yeah, that's rough, especially when you're from a Nicene Christian nation. You've really got some problems.
Yeah, correct.
I guess the downfall of a society is okay in their eyes.
Yeah, well, if you are so confused as what's going on, I'm gonna give you a little previously on the quest for power. We had King Gaiseric the Cruel's illustrious reign, and his son Hunneric ascended the throne. We burned Hunneric and many of the kings who followed. During their reigns, they continued to persecute Nicene Christians, like you're talking about, and allowed some of the Moorish tribes to wreak havoc along their borders, along a few towns, and also took part in the family pastime of slaughtering their own family members. As you do. Mm-hmm. Our last king, Thrasimund, tried to convert the Nicene Christians to the Vandal state-sponsored Arian Christianity by peacefully persecuting them. Peace doesn't really work in the Dark Ages, so he also set him on fire. I think Scott said, add another log to the pile.
That's right.
Eventually, he died of unknown causes, which led to Gaiseric's grandson, Hilderic, being crowned as Hilderic, first of his name, the Antagonist, King of the Alani and Vandals.
can tell he didn't learn from his grandpappy.
No. Well, his grandpappy did tick a lot of people off. He was just very good at backing it up.
Yeah. Well, maybe he could have learned a thing or two from him.
He probably could. Geyserick's probably rolling in his grave going, oh my god, this is what my offspring... Well, granted, he probably rolled in his grave at his offspring's reign too. But he can't blame Hunterick too much because he was like 50 when he took over. You can't really be a powerful, you know, king if you're not like in your teens, 20s, or 30s. Hilderic is the son of Hunneric and the Roman princess Eudocia. He was born sometime in the 460s during Geyseric's reign. Hilderic succeeded Thrasamund when he was in his 50s or 60s, so he also succeeded when he was older, as the oldest male line in the Hastingi line when Thrasamund was kicked the bucket in 523. So he got it, he's crowned, he's king. What's his first thing to do? First, he immediately becomes unpopular with the nobility. It must be a family trait. Hunneric had a real good knack for irritating the nobles and the Nicene clergy. We get the opposite lesson in Hilderic's rule than we had in Geyseric's rule. Geyseric taught us how to build and hold the kingdom. Hilderic teaches us how to lose power in the fastest way possible.
Grab your notebooks, kids.
Being at least 50 years old, he really wasn't interested in warfare. he left that to the kids. You know, you kids take that over. And that was not a good look in Vandal society. A king is meant to be a warrior. So even if you are not a warrior, you at least got to keep up the pretense that you are. And he did not.
Oh, that's like looking in the mirror. What's that? People that are way too old to rule don't make great rulers.
Shocking.
Ugh. Next.
As much credit as we gave Geyseric for his reign, the one dumb thing he did is he made the succession being the oldest relative instead of primogeniture. And as many problems as there is with primogeniture, at least you can either get like children, or you mostly get people in their teens or 20s. Yes, we will have a lot of boy kings, but I think a boy king under a regent is better than a 50-year-old.
Yeah, you got all that time to learn. What are you going to do? But, you know, because it doesn't matter. It takes time to do and learn anything.
Yeah.
I don't see why being a king is any different. So by the time, you know, especially back in those days, by the time you took the crown at like 50, you already got like probably 1 foot in the grave, proverbially speaking.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you need some of that youthful energy to be a king.
That's right.
Well, all these old kings and Hilderic made the Vandals look really weak to their Moorish rivals, who were really, really good at stirring up trouble within the kingdom, of harassing the borders, of sacking different towns, really making life hell for their citizens, or their subjects, I should say, if they're not really citizens at this point. His lack of interest in war wasn't the only reason, though, that he was disliked almost immediately by the Vandal nobility. Pretty much after moving into the royal palace, so he barely got the new furniture moved in and, you know, figured out how to sit in the throne, he issued an edict which formally called for the tolerance of Nicene Christians, which really ticked off the Arian nobility. Now, again, in our days, that would be a great decision. We want tolerance. You shouldn't be persecuting people because of their religion. But you gotta read the room if you are to be king in this time. And making a formal tolerant, like not even Thrasamund would go like that far. That's really gonna tick off the more powerful people around you.
Yeah, they got knives too.
Knives and poison. You never got to remember poison. And then Hildreth also said, was said to right away issue orders for all of those Catholic bishops that, you know, I think it was Hunneric and Geiseric and all those other previous kings that we, you know, ditched. At least they got, you know, their rivals out of the kingdom. Well, he said, no, please come back in.
Sounds like you already pissed off your Arian nobility. You got to introduce the kind of the dogfight at this point, right? If you have the, you know, if you're bringing back some Catholic counterparts to offset your nobility, you know, I'm not saying this is good. You're having a very divided thing, but if you're concerned about people backstabbing you, you know, I mean, maybe it was a give them something to chew on. I'm thinking of the most logical reason why you would bring someone who's fundamentally opposed back from exile.
I have a feeling that Hildreth was, to give the a crude term, was like a closeted Nicene Christian.
Oh, yeah. That's
because
fair.
Like his mother was Eudocia, who was a Nicene Christian. And remember, she divorced her. Well, she didn't divorce. She just pretty much ran away
just
from
left.
Him to Jerusalem because like of their religious differences. And she was Nicene Christian. So
once again, in second generation, the religious bitterness strikes deep in the family.
It really does. And you know what? He's like, I'm not done irritating my own nobility. He formed really close ties with the Eastern Empire, who were the Vandals' nobility most bitter, bitter rival. They hated them. And he's like, no, we should be friends. And in fact, some sources even say he was close friends with Emperor Justinian the Great. This is like, if you've ever heard of like Justinian in Rome, it is this Justinian that we are talking about. So he even made friends with him, which he is a powerful friend, but he's not in your kingdom. He's quite
he's
a
way away. Yeah.
He's over in Constantinople, which is now Istanbul.
That's right.
away. So not great. So with all of this good negative energy just hanging around his court, even the former Queen Amalafrida was getting a little ticked off. And she was the queen to good old Thrasimund, who really didn't do much, but he did enough to get her upset. And while he was still in his first year of his reign, Hildreth was in his palace debating on how next to irritate his nobles. I wonder if he had like a nice little float or
get a little dartboard going.
A little dartboard, and just like, all right, how can I irritate them next? While he was doing that, the former queen was leading a revolt. So he, not great news to hear about when you're just starting out your reign. In response, he basically grabbed one of his relatives and said, you there, go deal with this for me. I'm too old for this shit.
Sounds like a man who really cares about his kingdom.
He really, really does. Amalafrida's band of rebels, along with some more she recruited, so she even got some of their like enemies to team up together. So he's got that going for him. And they met Hildreth's forces at Kapspa, which is now called Gefsa, and is the capital of Tunisia. I may be completely mispronouncing that, but it's G-A-F-S-A. So in my English language, I'm going to call it Gefsa.
All right.
So how do you think this battle went down?
Poorly. Everybody. Well, it's probably okay. Was the relative competent?
You have a younger relative, and then you've got like a queen, and then it with some Moors that she also got to fight along with her, along with a few nobles that really didn't like Hildreth.
Yeah. They say these young upstarts sounds promising.
Oh, well, you would be correct. Amalafrida's forces were soundly defeated, and she was captured in the battle. Hilderic then had her guards executed immediately and threw her in a dungeon where she died or was quietly killed. She may have been like in the Princes in the Tower for England type deal where they just let them in prison and they just never came out.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for starting rebellions.
So he must have also, well, yes, but he must have also added a good way of ticking off his nobles is murdering, you know, their former queen. So that must have been a thing on the dartboard that he hit. Must have been, well, the bullseye or something.
I mean, of all the things that's, you know, bad marks, that one seems like maybe a little bit more justified.
It is a little justified until you hear that he is Theodoric the Great's sister, who is a very powerful tyrant up in Italy and in the north, and is just a stone's throw away from kicking your ass in Africa.
All right. Well, that's free. That's future problems.
that's future Hilderic's problem.
Yeah, exactly. You think this man thinks in advance? He flies. He's flying this kingdom by the seat of his pants.
Alrighty. So to recap the year of pissing everyone off, he openly was not a warrior king. He formally tolerated the religion against the wishes of his nobles. He formed a close partnership with the kingdom's most hated rival, and then he murdered the widowed queen who happened to be a powerful tyrant's sister. Really good start to the reign. In 526, he got some, he must have breathed the biggest sigh of relief. News came of Theodoric the Great's death, so he escaped retribution at the hands of the Ostrogoth.
I'm convinced that, honestly, he probably wasn't even cognizant of, like, Theodoric's existence or threat. I'm just convinced that he's just dealing with stuff as it's placed in front of him. Like, the Moors are only in the periphery to this man, and he just is like, unless they're attacking my stuff, I don't really care. And once they walk away, it's like he's no object permanence. They attack my kingdoms, and then they leave, and then it's just like, well, they're not a problem anymore.
You know, yeah. You know, I'm convinced. I could see it, yep. I was gonna say, how would you not? He's like such a threat. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
It's like playing peekaboo with a baby. Just like, where'd he go? God, did you say no wonder? I say he probably did ask like the former queen to be executed, and then he forgot she existed.
They say may have said like, oh, why are they doing this? Because you killed the queen. And they'd be like, oh, I did?
Yeah, exactly. What happened to her? Well, we put her in prison until you told us to execute her. Did you mean I haven't given the order yet? No. When was this? A year ago. Huh. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah,
I'm inferring an awful lot here, but
I enjoy the inference. I think it is great. Adds just an extra layer to his character in my head already. So he thought obviously his reign is going really well. What do you think is his next move?
Oh, God. Is he just going to, like, disband his army while he's at it?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had done that. He went thinking, my reign is going really, really well. I just eliminated a threat with no retribution. I even forgot she existed. I've created religious tolerance in my kingdom, and I've gained a powerful ally in the East. My next move has to be to convert to Nicene Christianity, the same religion as my mother.
The real popular people, huh?
I don't know if he was one of those people that just, you know, didn't know how to read the room. You know those people.
Or I relate. Yeah, he probably just wants to piss everybody off at this point.
It's gotta be. He's gotta be like, oh, God, it's like he worked hard to get all of the people around him that are powerful really angry. And, you know, this is obviously a step way too far. He didn't lay any good groundwork for this, and he couldn't read the room. He must have thought Uncle Justinian was going to come help him. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, yeah, just got to march God knows how many miles to do it.
And cross, and cross the Mediterranean, which is always a force in nature.
That's right.
Well, after a series of defeats his forces while being led by his nephew, and the fact he openly converted to Christianity is the final thing that, like, broke the camel's back. And for dramatic purposes, I'm going to just imagine this next scene occurred in the evening hours while the palace is asleep. I have no idea what time this happened. They just gave me a two-liner of what is about to happen. In 5:30, Hilderic was suddenly awoken to warriors barging into his room, ripped him out of his bed, only to see his cousin Gelimer to let him know that he was the one who betrayed him, and then ordered Hilderic to be dragged off to the same dungeons that he threw Amalafrida 7 years earlier.
Save the kingdom. Not really. We know that this is just one more step down the idiot stairwell.
Yeah, yeah. Gelimer, he's going to be an interesting king when we go over him. He was a fun one to research. Anyway, Gelimer also dragged Hilderic's nephews and closest relatives and let them join the dungeon that same night, since, you know, when a coup d'etat happens, the people closest to the monarch need to be eliminated. Otherwise, they will come and stab you. See, what was it? It was our second king, Atulf. Is that what I named him?
Yeah.
Yeah, see Atulf, that episode. Never, ever, ever keep your rivals in your kingdom. So, it is here we're going to pause the narrative. It just happens that Hilderic's in jail, and we will resume in Gelimer's ring, who will be our final Vandal king. That is the reign of Hilderic.
Very long.
Very, very long. Before we begin, I want to note of a tiny little change we're doing. We are renaming the dynasty category to legacy. And because basically the way we've been describing dynasty, it's more of a way of saying, like, you know, what mark have they left, which is more of a dynasty, which is more of a legacy than a dynasty. Obviously, dynasty is a big part of legacy, but it's just a part of it. So I figure this expands it more. Unlike Hilderic, we like to try and modify our ways of thinking.
All right.
All right.
So we're getting started.
Yep. So, for royal power, how well did he acquire, yield, and maintain power? He didn't acquire power at all. He did wield some by telling his nephew to go put down the revolt, but then he lost the crown at the end.
Yeah. Give at least a one for the revolt put down. That's it. It's all. Zero is probably more fitting, but
I want to give him a zero, but I'll give him a one for putting down a revolt.
Yeah.
So a two, a really good start.
Yeah, you know, a whopping two.
Infamy. What are they infamous for?
Anything? Sucking?
So, maybe not really in a historical sense, but in the context of, like, his people, he converted to Nicene Christianity, he murdered the former queen, and in general, he seemed to just piss everyone off in his kingdom except Justinian over in the east.
Yeah, it's really hard to, I guess it's infamy in its own right, it just feels more like incompetence, but...
but incompetence can gain you some infamy.
I don't know. Give him like a two. I don't think he's... Yeah, I mean, the conversion's pretty... Well, it's fairly big, you know. Conversions are not exactly... Well,
I
think they're commonplace. I don't think they're
that
commonplace.
No, they are not common. Especially usually like you're a king.
Yeah. Cradle to grave faith.
Yeah.
Maybe ought to reassess.
Yeah. Unless you're like a good, the only way like conversion makes sense is if you are a, and this would happen more in Britain when the Vikings start to convert to Christianity. And it's basically because Christianity just offers them way more advantages than their current religion does.
Yeah.
I don't see what advantages this leads him. It's a pretty shocking thing to do in this era. Murdering the former queen, I not really much. But the converting to Nicene Christianity is pretty darn shocking at the time.
Yeah, I'm willing to modify. I'll give him a 4.
I'm going to give him a 5.
All right, total of 9.
Religious passion. So it had to be religious passion that he converted in the face of complete opposition by powerful people in his kingdom. He brought back the Nicene Christians. I mean, he had to have leaned like Nicene Christianity right from the get-go and just couldn't do it until he was king.
Yeah. Yeah, he's made all of his Nicene dreams come true.
So I gotta give him pretty high marks here. Unfortunately, he's gonna gain some really high marks for being an incompetent king, but he had quite a bit of passion.
He did. I think I'll give him like a 6.
I'm gonna give him an 8.
Because my shtick here, or my thought, is that he didn't really do anything to persuade others in any fashion. Like there was no zealotry here. Just
you are correct.
He's like, hey guys, come on back. If you're an Arian Christian, that's fine too. But you know, Nicene Christianity is where it's at. And he didn't even, as far as we know of, didn't even debate people on this. Like that doesn't strike me as like a very. Seems like a person who holds true to his convictions, but otherwise is not, like, you know, super passionate, I guess. It's a different kind of passion, but it's a very, like...
Yeah, you're right. It's not really... Yeah, it's
passiveness.
It's more passive religious than passionate religious. It's not like he's doing an inquisition.
But he did change laws and policy and,
yeah.
You know, so I'm willing to give him some points for being ballsy in the face of, you know, a room full of not his faith.
With pointy, sharp spears and knives. Yeah. I didn't even think of the mitigating of that. Oh, wow. I'll go 6. I have to agree.
Awesome. It's a 12.
Stability. Was there any internal strife? Were there outside events penetrating his kingdom? What stability? Like, he had a revolt. He did put that down. He had the Moors constantly just causing chaos at the borders, really, really just having free reign, not really doing much. His troops kept losing quite a bit of battles. I don't see much stability. He obviously, again, like the other kings, there was more stability the closer you got to Carthage, but the farther away you got, it was way more unstable.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm just going to give him I think I gave him 0.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't really do anything except put down a rebellion.
That and, like, the instability of his court had to be insane. To be so at odds with the rest of his nobles, that just had to create a very unstable atmosphere as what led to, well, him being overthrown.
Yeah. All right, 0.
All right, royal demise. How compelling was their death? All right, so we kind of paused this, but over the in the narrative, but in since we got to rate him on this, Over the course of events that we're going to talk about in Gelimer's reign, Hilderic was eventually executed in captivity. He never comes back to be king. So he is just sitting in jail and then is just murdered in jail.
It's kind of satisfying for its own right, because he's just like, yeah, this guy was awful. And, you know, he just sits in a cell, just minding his own business, probably forgetting what, you know, everything looks like outside because... object permanence. And then you know, someday these strange guys come in and that's it.
Yep.
There's a certain, like, I don't know, it feels kind of satisfying in its own right. Oh. Although not very exciting.
So how compelling was it? It doesn't always have to be exciting. It could be satisfying. The royal demise is one of our more open categories. It's more of how interesting, how is it an extreme thing or another versus they just died of old age?
Yeah, no, I'll give him like a good old like two, you know.
Yeah,
give him some points.
Yeah, I'll have to match that. Two is good.
Yeah, it's satisfying because I think he was so incompetent that he just kind of, yeah, just kind of the classic like rot in a prison cell kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Yep.
All right. So 2-2 for 4 on to the next one.
Wow, he is doing real, real good. Legacy. All right. So he is not the only reason, but he is a major reason why the Vandal Kingdom collapsed. Not very good for legacy. I could not mention the wife or a child. Being 50 years old, that's kind of interesting that he didn't. As you can see here, I have a coin of him. Kind of looks like the same of our other coins. I can't tell what that is in the back. I don't know if it's like a hair. It must be hair braids, or is that like the crown? Oh, that must be the crown.
What, on the other side of the coin?
No, on the left side of the coin. We will post this on Facebook for you guys check a look at. And Instagram.
Yeah, I assumed. Yeah, like on his head. It looks like a crown, or almost like a...
Oh, it's more like a helmet. Yeah, it's more like a helmet. Yeah.
No, because you can see his hair.
Yeah, it's a little weird. So that's all I got. I mean, I got nothing.
We'll give him a whopping 0.
Yeah, 0. All right. So, I believe we forgot how long he reigned for.
Oh. Which, I mean, didn't make it long.
According to... He reigned for 7 years. I should have realized that. When he imprisoned Amalafrida, he was thrown in jail. So, yeah, so not very long. 7 years.
A really impressive run. Didn't even make it the decade.
No, he made it to the magical number 7 at least.
Well, not magical enough.
All right, how many total points did he get?
13 and 14 for 27 points
out of a solid. You know, that's more points than I thought he was gonna get. But
yeah, actually. And I feel kind of, well, actually, I don't feel ashamed because he was so memorably incompetent. Actually scored higher than Thrasimund, who,
he was just,
you know, we had higher respect points at least.
Yeah. I enjoyed Thrasimund. He was a fun, kooky character. But Hilderic, I was so excited to get to Hilderic's episode when I was researching him because he's just bad. He's so bad it's laughable, like a parody king. Like this,
yeah.
This could almost be like a Monty Python movie of Hilderic's reign.
Yeah, actually, it could. I could see it.
So
he's pining for the fjords.
All right, so I know everyone has been waiting for this. Scott, what is the fate of Hilderic? Will we crown him High King? Will we reduce him to a minor lord? Or does he deserve to be burned at the stake?
Burn it like the rest.
Yep. I will hand all the torches to the nobles to light him on fire.
And they do it gladly.
Yes. Alrighty, so. Sorry, Hilderic. You were burned at the stake. We deemed you incompetent. And that's just how you're going to go down in Quest for Power history. May not be actual history, but for sure to us, you're pretty incompetent.
I don't think anyone remembers this guy fondly.
No, probably not. So a herald came by, Scott, now that we are done with pathetic Hilderic. And a noble named Gary said, "Be nice to your fathers. They are always right." I believe. Huh. I wonder who this is from. I believe he's referring to Hunneric's reign when he first stopped his father's Geiseric's policies of persecuting Nicene Christians at the beginning of the reign. And then something happened which caused Hunneric to do a 180 and go, "You know what? Dad was right. Burn them all to hell." Now, this might just be me, but I'm not so certain that persecuting others that believe because they believe that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are the same thing and you disagree means that it's right to set them on fire just because your dad thought it was also a good idea.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah. It's just kind of crazy that that's such a big difference, but that's what I latch onto. But yes, dads aren't always right.
Well, thank you for writing in. I'm sure Scott and I are going to hear about this later.
Yeah, well, yeah, we reap what we sow.
Yes, we do. Well, that's it for the reign of Hilderic. Let us know what you thought of him. Were we too harsh on him? Do you enjoy these episodes when Scott and I rip apart a king to shreds before we light him up on fire? Or do you love like a big grand high king episode like Geiseric or Alaric? Even if you're listening to this years after it's been published, do not hesitate to contact us. We created this podcast because we love talking about history and want to share that passion with all of you. You can message us via Messenger on Facebook and on Instagram at Quest for Power, or email us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support what we do here, please leave a review or subscribe on whatever platform you use. Remember, we will read all 5-star reviews posted at podchaser.com, and I will have the link in the show notes. Thank you very so much for spending your valuable time with us ripping apart a king that was a delight to rip apart. Following Hilderic, next week we'll be reviewing his usurper, Gelimer. Until next time, the king is dead.
Long live the king! Thank you.